Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler. I am here with my co-host, Judy Davis, and we are so excited to be doing our first, I can't say solo show because there are two of us, but our first full-on Mighty Parenting Tackles show of 2019. And we love having you here with us. We appreciate you, want to make sure that you get all the support that you can, which you can get at mightyparenting.com. You can also see how you can support us as we do these podcasts for you and keep these going and keep them commercial free. So I still coming off of the holidays around our house, Judy, I know you guys were a little quieter. We were quieter than normal, but that's still pretty busy in our world. And for anybody who has kids, it's always just busier just because you have everybody at home. You know, our high school, middle schoolers are out of school, college kids come home, young adults are home visiting, and sometimes you have the holiday family drama, there can be hurt feelings, or things just didn't go the way that we expected them to, especially with all these extra activities and the extra time that we spend together. And being the holidays, we want everything to be perfect, so we become acutely aware of every little issue, every little eye roll, every harsh word, every little tiny cold shoulder. We feel that friction going on. And then it can start to snowball and make us start worrying about our kids and worrying about our relationship with them and on and on and on.
Exactly. It's like that holiday hangover that never ends.
Yes.
You know, it's funny because when I think about when our kids come home from college or they're off for vacations or we get together as a big group, friction can pop up at the oddest times. And we all have different ways that we function when our kids are around or when our kids aren't around. Our relationships with our spouses or friendships or anything like that take on a life of their own. And when our kids come back or are off on vacation, I don't care what age they are, they actually disrupt our routine. And that disruption can cause friction from both sides, our kids and us. And we don't always see how much our kids have grown or all the adulting that they have been doing in our absence. And we tend to, when we get in each other's spaces for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I know my tendency is sometimes to become over-involved in their lives or trying to fill the space because they're only home for a short period of time. And when that happens, it's like I become Mama Bear all over again, and I forget that they aren't seven and needing me to take care of everything and fix things. And I have a lot of expectations that get messed up. And I tend to judge what they're doing or what they're not doing. Are they sleeping in too much? Is there, emotionally, are they doing well or not doing well? And it's almost like, even though there's friction, I question if it's normal. And it is. Friction is a normal part of a family dynamic, especially when we use it as a tool and use it to empower ourselves and improve our relationships. So it's almost like I welcome friction. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for you, because I know you kind of feel the same way. It's like, what does all this commotion and friction, what does it tell us?
Yeah, it reminds me, listening to you talk about it, Judy, reminds me about how I talk about stress when I coach with women, right? It's just kind of this neon sign going, hey, yeah, there's something to look at. it's not something saying you're doomed, your life is going to be horrible, or your life is horrible. It's just a sign going, hey, take a look at this. And so to me, having friction or feeling like, oh my gosh, yes, you know, if you're listening, this is going, that was us. I mean, I can't believe it. Yes, it's great to see my kids, but there was this friction. It's time to do what we teach in Mighty Parenting, and what Judy and I teach is to become a detective, to live curious, and start taking a step back and taking a deep breath and kind of calming and going into a quiet space and looking at your life, looking at your relationship with your child, looking at your child calmly and objectively to see, okay, what's really going on? The friction isn't the issue. The friction is that sign saying, hey, you need to take a look.
It's almost the result of whatever is going on.
Right, it is. It's the result of what's going on. And there are three common issues that cause that friction that we can talk about. One is that either you or your child or both of you are at capacity, and we'll talk more about what that actually means. Mm-hmm. The second is that we need to look at expectations, our expectations, their expectations, and see what's going on there. And or our communication needs to change. Those are three big things that can cause friction: capacity, expectations, and communication.
Exactly. And so before we talk about that, I just kind of want to go back and go, because as a parent, I might be listening to this going, all right, well, how do I know for sure? What does friction look like in my kid?
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about like what those three causes are, if you're cool with that, because I need to step back for a second. Because for our kids, we've talked about this in a lot of different shows, because each kid is different. Each relationship is different. Each family is different. And friction will show up in a lot of different ways. So, you know, when we think of friction, we go, oh, it's two people butting head and arguing all the time and acting out against one another, and voices are raised and things like that. But you and I both know there's a lot of other ways that it shows up in our kids. So let's talk about it. You know, we have that acting out one.
Yeah. I mean, that is, I think, a more common thought when we think of having friction with our kids. We think of that argumentative, difficult, slamming doors, racing out of the house, breaking rules, that sort of in your face kind of a thing is, exactly, I think, a common way of depicting friction.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only way it happens.
It's no,
and the way it happens, Judy.
Right. So I know that one of my kids is more of that acting out, and the other one is shutting down.
Mm-hmm. Ditto.
It's almost like the minute things start getting tough, he will just kind of retreat into his room or into the corner, or just be quiet and not engage. He becomes this almost like observer type of a thing, but he just gets in his own little cocoon, and things can bounce off him and it doesn't register. You know it. He's just pulling himself out, whether physically or emotionally, it can be both, out of the situation, and he's just shutting down into his own world. He's disengaging from anything that's going on around him, you know.
Right. And then there's still a third way, you know, because there's kind of like two ends of the spectrum. You have that in your face and I'm getting out of your space. Kind of those, mm-hmm, those two extremes. But there's another one where our kids, it's still kind of a shutting down, but it's avoidance. It's just going, you know what, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to just live my life, and I'm not going to totally shut down not going to be in your face, but I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. Take the path of least resistance and just avoid dealing with you. Avoid dealing with the issues.
Right. It's that secrets and lies. Atmosphere in that third way.
Exactly.
And I think that to some degree, I can see all three of those things happening in every kid. You know, when friction is happening at one moment, you know, when you think about a teenager, you have those polar extremes. They go from happy-go-lucky and life is all roses to bazoid, life is the worst thing ever and they don't want to deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's degrees of each of those things. So if you're watching your family dynamics or you're reflecting on the family dynamics that happened over the holidays, you know, think to yourself, was your child acting out more than normal? Were they shut down more than normal? Was there avoidance? Was, you know, were there a lot of secrets or little, you know, white lies telling you, like you said, Sandy, telling you what you wanted to hear to keep the peace? If you noticed those things.
Well, or excessive amounts of time in their room. And that's a hard one with the college students, because especially if it was their freshman year, because they're used to living out on their own. And they've developed very different habits oftentimes. And we have been looking forward to seeing them and they're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So they can want to just spend a lot of time in their room or just be sleeping a lot. And we need to, you know, we can look at that, but we need to be aware going, well, is that friction or is that just what they need?
Exactly. And, you know, I think that makes me think of our show on self-care. We are such proponents of telling us to recharge our batteries, you know, telling parents to recharge our batteries. And sometimes we forget that our kids need to do that too. And that is, you know, when you talk about those three common issues that cause friction, expectations that our kids are just the ever-ready bunnies because, you know, they have way more energy than we do.
Yeah, well, let's go, because expectations is huge. I mean, there are so many ways, and holidays are I'm trying to think of the word.
A powder keg.
Yes, really, because I'm thinking volatile and stuff. But yes, powder keg. Because, and a lot of that is because of expectations. Mm-hmm. Again, I was just talking about this one simple idea of, you know, do you think your kids spent too much time in their room? Well, it could be that there's avoidance going on or something like that, but it can also be that they spent just the right amount of time for them. Like you said, Judy, they're doing their self-care. They are getting some downtime. They are getting some sleep because goodness knows they don't sleep during school, high school or college. Mm-hmm. But we are expecting them to be an energizer bunny, or we're expecting them to spend a lot of time with us, to spend every waking moment with us because we missed them. We want to see them.
Right.
That, that was their expectation for their break.
Exactly. You know, and that's where, and I know we're going to be weaving in between all three of these issues that you brought up at the beginning, but that's where that communication piece is so key. If you have expectations of what it's, you know, what it should look like, talk to your kid and find out what their expectations are.
Well, and first sit back and acknowledge that you have them, because you said, if you have expectations about what break's going to be like, we're human. You can't not have an expectation
mm-hmm.
of what it's going to be like. I mean, in some way you have thought in your head about what your Christmas holidays or your vacation or your Hanukkah or your, you know, festivas or whatever. But there is this space and time during which the kids are out of school. And you may be thinking that it's going to be business as usual, but you don't even realize that is an expectation because you're like, well, this isn't really different for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, we do come about our expectations based on our experience and our history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to being together as a family, it's really easy to kind of shift back into the roles or expect your child to be that same person they were before they left.
Well, you've talked about that, Judy, how we don't take the time to notice how much our kids have grown in any given time period, whether it's because high school and college are huge growth times.
Right.
And we don't necessarily take the time to step back and realize, oh, you know, they have grown, they are different, or they are more capable, or they can do this on their own, or they do this differently now. They have a preference. They have different thoughts, different abilities. And you talk about that a lot, where we miss that.
We do. And it's interesting because I think on my experience and watching, you know, my kids who are now out of the house, living on their own with their significant others. And when we come together, my initial gut reaction is to mom everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But when I allow myself to take a step back, it's fascinating to watch because my kids are adults and they don't need me to parent. They need me to guide and support them now. So it's funny because my expectations of holidays have had to completely shift, not even just holidays. Anytime I'm together with them, I had to shift my roles and my expectations much more so than they did because I'm still mom. They've become adults. And if I don't shift my expectations, friction will happen because they will interpret it like I am not believing that they're capable. And that's where that expectation sends a message to our kids that they are not capable, they're not worthy, they don't have the skills or the ability.
Or their opinions, their preferences don't matter.
Absolutely.
Even when they're younger, so in my holiday work, one of the situations I talked about sprang to mind here, and this was about me trying to do better with the holiday season and enjoy it. And so letting go of some of the things, setting my own expectations. And in the process of doing that, when my kids were, I think they were, you know, upper elementary, middle school age, and I talked to them about what traditions were important to them and found out it wasn't what I thought.
Right.
But again, as a parent, we can very easily go, well, I know my kids. And yes, we do know our kids, but they're still a human being and we don't know every thought in their head. And when we don't ask what their thoughts are, what their preferences are, what their opinions are, like, how do you want to, you know, what do you want to do for our family vacation this year? What do you want to do this evening? Not in the sense of, oh, whatever you say we're going to do because you are the queen of the castle and we're making you, you know, we're going to spoil you to the point of ruining you. But from the standpoint of asking everybody and, you know, let's figure this out together.
Mm-hmm.
More of that, like you said, you know, the guiding and things, but also asking them along the way.
One little trick that I've used to kind of adjust my expectations of my kids as they've gotten to be older and through their late teen years and into their 20s was to say, how would I approach this if it were a friend? And react from that space. Because I would never make assumptions or have expectations about something that's going on with a friend. I would ask.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just got a little confused. So you're asking yourself.
Right. I'm asking myself. So not asking a friend. I'm asking myself.
Right. But so you're in a situation with your kids.
Right.
And you're looking at this and you're asking yourself how you would handle that if it was a friend, not your child.
Exactly.
Okay.
And when I come from that space, I am sending a completely different message. It's a message of respect. I listen better. I am much more, I don't get triggered. I am able to absorb what they're saying and respect their choices in a very different way than if I was mom taking responsibility for those choices.
Well, I like that. And then, you know, depending on the age of our kids, it, you know, as you said, at this point, yours are out on their own. So it's going to happen less, but you know, the younger they are, so we can still look at it that way, even with very young kids, and then just follow it up with the question of, okay, so that's how I would handle it with a friend. Mm-hmm. Given my child's age, what's my responsibility as a parent? Because there's certainly, as a parent, we do have a different responsibility than we do for someone who, you know, if we're talking to a friend.
Exactly.
But I love that idea of viewing it from, it's almost a little bit more distance, because while we care about our friends, we don't have the same intensity of responsibility to them. Mm-hmm.
Right. And really, to be healthy and have a healthy relationship with our young adult kids, we need to show that respect, because we're giving them a message that we are confident in their abilities. And a lot of times, as they grow and through their teenage years, and as they come through the challenges of just growing up, that's what they need from us, is to know that they're doing okay. And sometimes in our efforts to help, we send a very different message than that.
Well, we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. You know, how our kids have seen our trying to help, because as I've said in the show, you know, people talk about the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and, you know, because people love, a lot of women love to cook for their families, or a lot of guys love to grill for their families, right? So this food thing is about love. Whereas for me, it's about, well, if you love somebody, you will help them. Mm-hmm. And that comes in many different forms, but they all have that pitfall of sending the message of, I'm doing this because I don't think you're capable.
Exactly. And that, you know, and that kind of ties up that whole expectations thing. What are you expecting from your relationship? What are you expecting?
And does it match your child's expectations for their life, their vacation, their goals, their priorities? Because when we have a big disconnect, and when they have expectations about their life and we have life or behavior, and we have expectations about their life or their behavior, and they don't match, that
it's
distance
friction.
Between them is friction.
Yes. Yep. And friction will eventually damage, if not destroy, your relationship with your child. Mm-hmm. So understanding where it's coming from and taking action to move out of that space of friction is key to having that healthy, enjoyable relationship that makes you want to spend time with your kids as they get older, you know? So if we're having friction, what do we do with is it an indicator that our communication is all jacked up? You're the communications guru.
Well, thanks to working with Lisa Gerizzi, who is a communications guru, I've learned a lot. And oftentimes, yes, you know, because we talked about these expectations. We talked about, what are your expectations for your child, and are they the same as theirs? Well, the way to find out any of these things is you have to communicate. Also, we just said, and we didn't use the word communication, but we talked about how our actions are sending a message. That's communication.
And we don't think of it like that.
No, we don't. But our kids are reading our body language, our actions, you know, our eye rolls. We talk about kids doing eye rolls. I see lots of adults do eye rolls too. And somehow that's okay, because they're directing it at a child. And it's not. If the message you want to send, if the communication you want is, I respect you, don't roll your eyes at them. any more than you believe they respect you as they're standing there rolling their eyes at you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the whole package of what we think, what we say, what we don't say, and what we do, including mm-hmm. body language, that all wraps up together in the way, you know, to be communication with our child. And you know, on the website, on mindyparenting.com, we have that email series, free email series, introducing people to some communication concepts. And I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag, because you and I went back and forth about the first one, that people were going to be frustrated with us because the first email talks about not talking.
Exactly.
Because that's one of the places that we overdo our communication. And we referenced that too, right? We said, okay, now suddenly your family's together 24/7. And this happens in various times. It happens on school breaks. It happens on family vacations. It can happen at other times as well. And some of us, we enjoy being with people. We show people we care about them and we love them by verbally communicating, by actually talking and expecting them to talk to us. Whereas that in itself can cause friction. If the expectation is, if you love me, you'll sit with me and talk to me. And mm-hmm. that might not be their thing. So the first thing we need to do is listen to our kids. Maybe ask a question, but then really, really listen to the answer. And not just listen so to figure out what we're going to say back. Not just listen to go, how do I get them around to my way of thinking? How do I, you know, I need to ask them, but then I'm going to tell them the way it's really going to be. We need to listen with that respect you were talking about. We need to listen with the intention of working together.
Right. Because friction comes, truly, friction, you know, thinking about relationships I have, friction comes from talking too much, being judgmental, and assuming that you know what's best for the other person. That's when communication explodes and friction happens. But we forget that that can be applied to our teens and kids.
Yeah, we don't think about needing better communication skills or working on our communication skills when it comes to kids. We may think about it at work. We may think about it in adult relationships or in a romantic relationship. The most common ones are work and romantic relationships, if we're going to address that. But the tools that you learn affect every relationship, even your relationship with yourself, when you take out the judgment. You know, we talked about that like in the body image episode.
Oh yeah, for sure.
When you take out that judgment, it changes everything. And it's not easy. That's why we did the email series, just to give people some starting, you know, some starting points. And how do you start doing this? How do you start changing that communication with your child? But I think we need to talk, and a lot of what we need to communicate more clearly about are their expectations and our expectations. So mm-hmm. giving them the opportunity to express their expectations about whatever. And again, when they're expressing it, be listening to understand what they're saying. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't judge what they're saying. Don't try to figure out how to change their expectations. Just try to understand and ask them, going, well, wait a minute, you know, I want to make sure I understand. This is what I hear you saying. And try to say back to them, don't just repeat their words. Try to say back to them truly what you're understanding them saying, and do a little back and forth until you get what they're saying. And that exercise alone shows huge respect.
Mm-hmm. Because one thing that we forget, or I should say that I forgot a lot, is that, and I think now it's even more prominent than ever before, that our kids have a lot more going on behind the scenes than we realize as their parents. And unless we make an effort to understand their stressors or challenges, our communication will never be effective if we don't take that empathetic viewpoint to understand what's going on. We can't communicate in a way that they'll be receptive and forthcoming. And if they're not receptive and they're not forthcoming, that, you know, A plus B equals friction. And until we change A and B, we will not have that smooth communication, back and forth, respectful talking, working together, being a unit and a family that we all really are craving.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that balance. It's that catch 22 that, you know, everything you're saying, that non-judgmental, listen, it's all so key, because we as parents, even though we tend to, and I say we encompassing because, but I'm really talking about my experience and maybe you're walking with me and maybe you're not, but I believe that I understood everything going on with my kids because I was older and I had experience. And the reality is my parents didn't understand me because times were different. I don't always understand my kids because times are different. And the only way that we can come together and see where the disconnect is through effective communication. You know, we drill that home all the time, but I think, you know, each time we come at it from a little bit different perspective. So hopefully, you know, that's the big takeaway that you'll have as you listen today and figuring out how to, you know, calm the friction, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things you can do is start out by talking to your child and going, you know, I kind of felt like we had a lot of friction over break. And I wanted to know if you felt that. And if they say yes, then just ask, what do you think might have contributed to that? Or did I do something that contributed to that?
Because I love that.
I'd like to learn. I want a good relationship with you. And I'd like to learn more about things that might be causing us an issue and work them out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming at it from the standpoint of, what did I do? Because the truth of the matter is, that was one of our big takeaways from the Neil D. Brown show. You can't make another human being do anything.
Right.
And so
all you can do is
work on you. And so why not just be honest and go there with your kid and go, okay, did you feel that? Is there anything I'm doing or that I could do that, you know, anything I did that contributed, or is there anything I could do in the future or I could do differently in the future that would ease that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like change? Yeah.
Do you feel like
I expected too much of you, or do you feel like I was too in your face? Or in the reverse, I tend to go, you know, I'm using examples going that way because that's where I would tend to go. I tend to go to the spending lots of time together in that. So, you know, for people, maybe you yourself are more of an introvert. Did I not spend enough time with you? Did, you know, the holidays are hard for me. I took a lot of downtime. Did you feel like I didn't want to spend time with you? And that might be as simple as that, is that you were taking the time that you needed or you took to heart. Because I know I handled these holidays differently than I have in the past. I took lessons from last year and I put a lot of them into play over the holiday break. And so my family saw me acting differently. Well, depending on how their communication inside their own head is going, they could make up stories. They could go, well, mom doesn't want to do family stuff, or mom doesn't want to bake cookies with me, or mom doesn't, you know, she doesn't like to do this. If I just open that road to communication and give them the opportunity to express that, I can share the truth.
Right. Right. And that's all communication is. It's opening up and sharing the truth and being open to listening to the truth. So sharing and receiving the truth is paramount to a good relationship.
Right. So truth kinds of in an odd way, leads back to, for me, to this idea of capacity. That was actually, we mentioned at the very beginning of the show. And this is one that I'm going to take a stab at explaining. I have the idea very clearly in my head. I don't think I always do a great job of explaining. It came from a blog that a young woman wrote. She is a young woman who deals with chronic illness. And so she doesn't, her energy levels are not constant. They vary from day to day. And she doesn't have the same amount of energy as a friend. And she was trying to explain to a friend of hers why she says no to things, why she doesn't do things. So the basic idea in her case is she was talking about physical energy, and she said, okay, so, you know, we all have a certain number of spoons in our day, but when I get up in the morning, it might take me, you know, let's say I have 10 spoons for the day, and it might take me 3 of those spoons just to get out of bed and take a shower. And then it might take another 2 to make my breakfast and eat my breakfast and make my lunch and clean it up. And that's before I've even gotten out of the door for the day. So come, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you want me to go do something, but I still have homework and, you know, I have a club or an organization and I only have 1 spoon left. I have to pick where I'm going to put that energy. And I may not have explained it extremely well, but it just, the first time I read that, it struck me because it applies in so many different ways in our life. You know, she's talking about how much physical energy she has due to a physical illness. It might have been something like chronic fatigue.
Yes.
So, you know, she was using this to explain something. I don't know that it was chronic fatigue because it's been years since I read this. So please bear with me that I know I'm not getting those details exactly right. I'll put the link in to the post so you can read that. It'll be in the show notes. But I took this and also applied it to other things. So, you know, for my husband, you know, if he's having a day where his anxiety is acting up or where he's just having difficulty with getting his brain to function optimally, to be able to evaluate things and make decisions, you know, he can look at me and go, I've used up all my spoons, or I'm running low on spoons. And it just gives me that message. It's that reminder to me of he's doing the best he can. And his best isn't going to be the same as mine because it was easier for me. You know, what took 1 spoon for me might have taken all 10 of his or 5 of his. And it's just that reminder to me. Or when my other daughter, she came home and she was very tired, very lethargic. And we're kind of sitting back and we're looking at this and we're going, is she dealing with depression? Is there a bigger issue? Is she being lazy? And we're going to all these different things. And it turned out, no, she needed a nutritional supplement. But before we figured that out, I started communicating with her. But instead of going in and going, you're being lazy or you need to get up, I asked questions about how she was feeling and what was going on and what might be getting in her way. And so I talked to her again about the spoon theory, and she started using that verbiage with me to, you know, she would wake up in the morning, she would send me a text message and just say, Mom, it's a low spoon day. Does this make any sense, Judy, to anybody?
No, it does. And you know, I want to tie it back because it's really interesting when you're talking about friction in a family, understanding this concept that you're sharing is really powerful because knowing that every single person that we come in contact with day in and day out, no matter if they're family, child, worker, spouse, understanding that each of us have a unique capacity to handle things is very different. We all have that difference of capacity, and understanding that what might take you is a no-brainer could be very daunting for someone else, especially if it's your child. Having that understanding will give you perspective enough that you can step back, adjust your expectations, communicate like you want to, and your child, the friction will go away because you're giving that respect. You know, I see it, it's funny because when you brought this up, instantly came to mind. I have noticed in a lot of the people that I hang out with, other entrepreneurs and things like that, there's this trend where every other year, the mark of the new year means that they are ready to go out, kick butt, take names, and light the world on fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
This year, many of them are very introspective, and they're quiet, and they're observing, and they're reevaluating, and including myself. We've talked about that. And it's funny because when you bring up the spoon concept, there's only a certain capacity for setting the world on fire or doing an activity. There's only so many spoons available. And right now, people understanding that, it's easy for me to see that I can't judge, I can't have expectations because I don't know what spoon they're on. So I love that concept, and I think that it's a really great tool to help us reduce the friction in our kids. And I'm like excited to try it because it never dawned on me to look at things that way. I found myself yesterday, we were working on a project, our fence broke down or fell down in a windstorm. And my husband went to Home Depot. And he was gone way longer than I knew I would have ever been.
Right? Expectations.
Exactly. And I was just like, what in the world? He's taking his time. He's just... And I had all these thoughts in my head.
So you had communication in your own head. This is just your, right. Your own internal communication.
Exactly. But what was really interesting when it came back, I said, where were you? What took you so long? He goes, it was so packed. You couldn't even get through the aisles that I needed to because everyone's fence went down around here.
Oh, yeah.
And his capacity for dealing with those crowds made him slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way he could get through that store. Where I would have been moving in around people, excuse me, let me grab this. He slowed down. His capacity was different. And if I would have known this little tip you taught me, it would have made my life a lot less friction because I was getting upset that it was taking him so long when we had so much to do. So,
well, the capacity thing actually ends up tying in really tightly with expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Because we expect other people to do certain things, behave certain ways, and do things in a certain time frame in a certain way. And they may, even if it is the best way to do it, it doesn't mean that they can. So when we understand their expectations, when we ask them non-judgmentally, you know, what their plans are, what their thoughts, what their expectations are, we align those and we understand that it's because of their capacity, that there is a reason for this. That makes it easier to accept. And mm-hmm. the friction goes away. And I really love to do this. We can't do it now because we got to wrap this up. So in the bonus material, if you've ever gone to mightyparenting.com to the support page, you'll see that we could get bonus material. Judy, I'm going to make you talk with me about slowing down because I have a whole thing I want to talk about in there. And what you said about Jeff using that to deal with the situation is huge, but we just can't go into it right now.
Exactly.
Just to kind of review, summarize some of the things we talked about, we said, number one, remember that friction is normal. This is not something horrible, something to be afraid of. It's just a sign telling us to take a look, to be curious, and see what needs a little tending in our parenting or in our relationship. And one of the ways to know if friction is causing issues is to look at your kids or even yourself and go, you know, are they acting out? Are they shutting down? Are they using avoidance tactics? So take a look at that. You know, live curiously. Check out, see what's happening with your kids, and then go, okay, well, what could be causing this friction? Is it a capacity issue? Is it expectations? Is it communication? And try to adjust those things. You know, utilize them together. Communicate with your child without judgment and by mostly listening. What you want to do is listen to understand. So communicate with your child, understand their capacity, understand their expectations, share about your own in an honest way. And as you clear that out, you will find that the friction will reduce. And if it starts ramping up again, go back, check those things out again, because friction can ruin your relationship. And you don't want to do that. You want to use friction as an identifier of an issue and look at what it's telling us and not get caught up in going, oh my gosh, everything's terrible. My kid hates me. Our relationship stinks. No, go, oh, there's friction. Okay, great. So there's opportunity here. I can improve some things. I can empower myself and I can empower my child and we can shift our relationship.
Absolutely. And I love that. I love that we're just talking about the nitty gritty, the real, the raw, and the relevant stuff that happens, because we all know that when you have teens, you have friction. And it's just something that we can move forward and do. And we just want to say thanks for listening. We're glad you're here with us. And remember, you are a mighty parent. And we invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all that we have to support you. And be sure to like, subscribe, and share on your social media so that we can help other parents. This is Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler saying see you next week.